Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911. Ruben Nava and Jesse Romero, two man car. We are 10-8 for Jesus. Good morning, Jess.
Hey, I'm reporting for duty, Ruben. I'm over here in Louisiana. I'm here at a parish mission for 3 nights. So welcome to all those people, new listeners that from here from Louisiana. You're listening to the Jesus 911 show. Ruben, you sent me something that that was very powerful. Broke my heart, but this is just the world we live in right now. There's an officer who was slain in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm looking at an article from the Denver Catholic. It says, Archbishop Aquila deeply saddened by deadly Boulder shooting, slain officer called a soldier of Christ. And let's pray for him right now. What's his name again, Ruben?
Eric Talley.
Yeah, let's pray for him. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto Eric Talley, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon him. May the soul of Eric Talley, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Apparently, Ruben, he was a very strong Catholic. Was told that he's a man of character, a man of faith. He was a father to 7 children. He was a husband, deeply committed to his family. People called him a soldier for Christ. I think somebody actually told me that he went to an FSSP parish out there.
Really?
So we lost a good man, Ruben.
Yeah, Father Dave Nix, friend of the show, he's from that area. I reached out to him, and he mentioned that this Officer Talley was extremely virtuous. The lady that made his hermit habit knew him. So you know, if he's running in circles with those kind of people, yeah, he had to be a solid Catholic. And there's a picture of him with a priest in the article that you're referencing, and it's a picture side by side with a priest, Father Tan, I believe it is. Anyway, it was the supermarket that this happened was right across the street from a parish, St. Martin de Porres in Boulder. So although Officer Talley was not of that parish, he would frequently, the article says, it frequently stop by and participate in things. You know, I'm sure it was in his, just like, you know, sometimes I do in my daily routine on duty. You know, it wasn't the area I lived, but it was we frequented. So we would stop in and, you know, say hello and say a prayer. And, you know, if they're having it's a feast day, you know, you might come in and, you know, participate in some festivities or something, maybe grab a cup of coffee and, you know, just say a prayer of gratitude.
Yeah. Well, we lost another good man, Ruben.
Yes. Yes, we did, man.
Yeah. Ruben, today, I just want to mention it's the feast day of the Annunciation of the Lord.
That's right.
Very, very powerful feast day because this is in Catholicism. This is when the incarnation occurred, mm-hmm. when God became a man at the Annunciation. When the angel Gabriel announced this, mm-hmm. This is exactly when the incarnation took place according to church tradition. Mm-hmm. And this is, by the way, the devil fears this event, this solitary event, because this is the reason why he was kicked out of heaven, because he refused to ascend to the incarnation, that God would become a man. He said, non serviam, if God becomes of man, I will not serve. A battle ensued in heaven between Michael and 2/3 of the angels that made an irrevocable decision to follow God. 1/3 of the angels made an irrevocable decision to reject God, rebel against God, and to follow Lucifer. And it was over the issue of the incarnation. So all the marbles, Reuben, are on the table on this issue, God becoming a man. And this is what separates us from Judaism. This is what separates us from Islam. The fact that Jesus Christ is God incarnate and he walked upon the earth.
Yes, it is. It's a big day. It's a big day. Thanks for giving us a reflection on that, Jess. And we're gonna switch gears and go into the first article. It's about the CDC recommends 3 feet for social distancing. It's down from 6 in revised school reopening guidelines. And apparently the WHO, I've heard this in the past, that they recommended 3 feet from the get-go, but it was squashed and shot down because it didn't fit with their narrative of keeping everybody locked down and dependent on the government. So let's get into this, Jess.
Go ahead. Yeah, it says when attending school in person, the CDC now says students need only keep 3 feet apart for safe COVID distance, but the new rules apply only under certain circumstances, including being in an area with low community transmission. So they give us here 4 scenarios. And who is the CDC? In the case you're wondering, say, who are these guys? The Center for Disease Control is a federal agency that conducts and supports health promotion, prevention, and preparedness activities in the United States. And the goal of the CDC is of improving overall public health. They were established back in 1946 in Atlanta, and the CDC is managed by the Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS, which right now leans very hard to the left.
Well, yeah, they got so the Becerra has been elected, confirmed as the he's
HHS secretary.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, which is he's going to be the worst HHS secretary we've ever seen. He's a hard leftist. And again, he's an apostate Catholic. And I'm going to quote St. Pius V, all the evils of the world happen as a result of lukewarm Catholics, Pope St. Pius V. And so here's some of the criteria for this 3 feet apart now. And again, Ruben, I think this is all ginned up. My personal opinion, again, this whole social distancing, this is all a satanic plot to keep us apart from each other. So people can't gather together in prayer. People can't gather together in fellowship, in community, and plan things. For example, if they got everybody separated, how can we get together and say, you know what? What if all this is fake? What if the government's just playing head games with us? If they keep us separate, that goes against the entire principle of the New Testament, building community. What does that mean? It's a New Testament Greek word that means to bring brothers and sisters together in the bond of love. So what the government is asking us to do violates a principle of the New Testament, which we also call the principle of solidarity. We need each other in the body of Christ. And so the first requirement, Ruben, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention says that students attending in-person instruction only need to stay 3 feet apart rather than 6 as long as universal masking is maintained. In other words, as long as you look like Halloween every day. The agency's new guidance released Friday recommends 3 feet of separation at elementary, middle, and high schools in communities with low, moderate, or substantial transmission. But the agency says middle school and high school students should stay 6 feet apart in communities where test positivity rates are 10% or higher, and when groups of students are kept together with the same staff throughout the day when this is not available. So what's the next criteria, Ruben, that they give us?
You know what? I lost you on that, Jesse.
Okay.
Find your spot.
I got
here.
Let me get it. The second paragraph. I got it here.
Okay.
There's only four criteria. It says the Center for Disease Control today updated its guidance on school reopening and said that for most elementary and middle schools across the country, at least 3 feet of physical distancing is sufficient when masks are worn properly. For middle schools and high schools in areas with high community transmission, 6 feet of distancing is still recommended unless students can cohort in small groups, and 6 feet is still required when students are not wearing masks while eating lunch, for example. Here's my question, Ruben. What's this whole thing about 6 feet? And now it's 3 feet. Okay, they're moving the goalposts. Who came up with that number? Is there any science behind 6 feet exactly? I mean, 120 some odd inches will keep this COVID-19 from infecting you. Again, to me, Ruben, I think this is all arbitrary numbers are thrown out there. I hate to say it because I used to work for the government as well as you did.
Yeah.
Right now, Ruben, I can tell you this. Right now, I've seen too much in my life. Jesse Romero, right now, I don't entirely trust my government any longer. I have the Ronald Reagan approach to government. Trust, but verify. What do you say?
Yep, I agree wholeheartedly, Jess. You know, when the you have the media and big tech, you know, censoring doctors. For instance, I subscribe to a publication from Hillsdale College. It's a private school. It doesn't accept you know, government funding, and they put out a little newsletter, and it really gets stories every month. And there's a doctor, Scott Atlas. He's a well
outstanding,
well known doctor from Stanford. You know, he speaks well of this. He points out in the article that he wrote that the past December, the WHO, World Health Organization, modified its recommendation in areas where the virus is circulating. Masks should be worn when in crowded settings. He says when you can't be at least 1 meter, roughly 3 feet apart from others, in rooms with poor or unknown ventilation. In other words, not at all times by everyone. You don't have to wear masks. It's either or, 3 feet or a mask. You know, if you're right on top of each other, then put a mask on. But they've already determined that the masks don't really work. So what are we left with? It's uncertainty. You know, Dr. Fauci's been spewing different things, you know, every other week. So it's whatever's happening, whatever fuels their agenda, that's how they operate. And it's unfortunate.
That's right.
Anyway, we'll be back talking another subject coming up on the next break.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. We are the LASD, Love and Sacrifice Daily, so we can leave all sin destroyed. Jesse, yesterday I attended a funeral of one of your academy classmates, Ruben Gracia, and it was well attended. The sheriff was there. There was uniformed personnel. He had the helicopter fly over, a Catholic priest there blessing it. And but afterwards, I made a trip since I was down the street from East LA Station over at Resurrection Cemetery. I paid a visit to the young deputy that we had on the show who was wounded in action. He was shot, you know, in the face and in the chest. And I met with him. I had never met him in person, so I went out there and I took him some goodies that one of our listeners made for him, and they got him a St. Michael stone and a St. Michael chaplet and some rosaries. It's good to know that he has since been taking his faith really serious, and he hadn't made his confirmation, so this Saturday he's going to be confirmed.
Wow.
So praise God. And I took a tour of the station. I hadn't seen it, hadn't been there in about 7 years. And, you know, a few things have changed, and it was still people I knew there, and I got to talk to them. And we have some people that that listen to the show from there.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was good. That's awesome. You know, yeah. It was well worth my time to go and stop in and paid my respects to the young officer, his last name is Garnica, Joe Garnica. So anyway, we're switching gears, Jeff. Wow. Let's switch gears.
Anybody who, yeah, go ahead. Ruben, you don't know how much I appreciate any young guy, any young man or woman right now that's putting on that uniform is really a hero.
Yeah.
People, I mean, that's the definition of a hero. It's giving yourself to a career that's thankless. There's no, you won't be thanked by anybody in this life, but I'm going to tell you one thing. They're putting a smile on God's face. When it's done right, law enforcement is a God-ordained profession.
Absolutely.
Matthew 5:8, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. And so God bless all the young men and women out there that are serving our country in law enforcement and in the military, Ruben. You know, we can sleep good at night because of people like that.
Yep, that's right, Jess. So what's this about illegal immigrants to receive $4.38 billion in stimulus checks? The report says it's from the Epoch Times. It's Americans are starting to receive their latest round of stimulus checks. A new analysis reveals about $4.38 billion will also go to illegal immigrants. The Center for Immigration Studies estimates that 2.65 million illegal immigrants have Social Security numbers that allow them to receive stimulus checks. This group of illegal immigrants can be described as aliens temporarily present without status, according to Stephen Camarota, director of research for the Center for Immigration Studies. He says these individuals are in the country illegally and could be required to leave, yet under the current system, they're still given work authorization and Social Security numbers, he said.
Wow, what a scam.
Yeah. So go ahead, Jess, pick it up.
Ruben, I'll tell you what upsets me. This is all being caused. This is a man-caused crisis.
Oh, absolutely. President
Trump left the Biden administration the most secure border we've ever seen in my lifetime, Ruben.
Yep.
In terms of the morale of the Border Patrol officers, their funding, the wall being built, getting rid of some of the policies from the prior administration that didn't work, like catch and release. President Trump handed Biden the most secure border policy and basically ambiance that we've ever seen in my lifetime. Joe Biden in 1 month has single-handedly destroyed what President Trump took 4 years to create.
Yeah.
And this is a security crisis for all of us, Ruben. The fact is, we don't know who's coming in here. And another thing, it's funny the way there's so much. In fact, I'm looking at an article here. It says this is from Judicial Watch. So these comes from a bunch of lawyers that get this data. It says most illegal immigrants arrested by ICE in 2020 had an average of 4 criminal convictions or charges. Okay. So again, it's not to stretch when you say that we're not getting the cream of the crop coming from the other side.
Right.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. A lot of my family members in Mexico, they're highly educated. In Mexico, I got a bunch of engineers, people that work for the oil, Pemex, professors. My family in Mexico is more educated than my family in the U.S. Okay. And guess what? None of my family in Mexico is coming over here.
Yeah.
They've got good jobs. They've done well for themselves over there. They got nice houses over there.
Yeah.
And so what's the point that I'm making? We aren't getting the cream of the crop over here. And again, you even see them wearing T-shirts.
Yeah.
It says, Joe Biden, please let us in.
Yeah, yeah.
The Biden administration is part of this clogging up of our border system right now.
Absolutely. Hey, Jess, don't want to interrupt you, but we have a caller on the line, Hector from Laredo, Texas. He has a question on the vaccination.
The sure.
Mother. Hector, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Welcome to Jesus 911.
Thank you. First of all, great show. I started listening to you about a month ago, so I'm learning a lot. So thank both of you and everybody in the participation.
All glory to God. Yeah.
Amen.
Two questions, and I'll make it quick. First one is regarding the COVID vaccine. I did listen to your segment when you invite the biologist. I don't remember her name, but when she talked about how aborted cells were being used and the production, and some are non-production, but while testing. So I'm not waiting. I'm holding back on taking the vaccine. But it seems that everybody in my community, everybody in the city, especially the bishops and priests, are pushing everybody to take the vaccine. So I did share the video, your segment about it with the biologist, but I just got reply back with everybody sending appointments, where to get appointments with the city and getting the vaccine. My question is, Am I wrong disobeying? Because now I feel that I'm disobeying my bishop, I'm disobeying my priest when they say, hey, you need to take that vaccine. That would be the first question. And the second question, and that would be with one of my brothers from Max, now that we're on the Annunciation of the Virgin Mary, I say, well, what would have happened if she would say no? Mm-hmm. If she would have said no. So he went ahead and looked at me like I was a little bit extreme and say, no, I mean, that could have never happened. I mean, but I said, well, doesn't God give us always a choice? Yeah. We have a choice. And okay. Was that never a choice for her? So I don't know if I should not be asking those type of questions as a Catholic and just go that she was all said to say yes.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Let me jump in.
Okay.
I've written a lot about the jab. I'm just going to say that word, the jab, so we don't get censored here. If you go type in my name, Jesse Romero blog, and then type in the V word. I can't say it right now because I don't want to get censored by social media. So if you go on the internet, type in Jesse Romero blog, and then type in the word V blank, blank, blank. I've given a long response on that topic, and it's well documented. I quote bishops, sources, science, common sense, theology, philosophy, and my take. So me personally, I am not going to take the jab.
Me either.
The only jab I'm going to take is if I step in a boxing ring and a guy hits me. That's the only jab I'm going to take. But I am not taking the other jab. And I've written a lot about it, but I don't want to get censored right now. So I can't use that word. So go ahead and type in my name, Jesse Romero blog, the V word, and you're going to get a mouthful of data on my position there. Now, the other thing, what would have happened? Yeah, today's the feast day of the Annunciation of the Lord. So that's a theological question that you ask. What would have happened had Mary said no? Again, anybody that would give an opinion on that, that's just called theological speculation. We don't know what would have happened, but we know that it didn't happen. We know that she said yes. That's what we call her fiat. She assented to God's plan of the incarnation. And so it really doesn't do any good for us as Catholics to say, what if she didn't? Because that didn't happen. And we know that according to God's permissive will, God allows everything to happen for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. She said yes, and she was predestined to say yes from the foundations of the world because she's perfectly full of grace. She's immaculately conceived. She doesn't suffer from any concupiscence like we do. She has full integrity of her intellect and her will and her emotions, fully perfectly integrated. And so she doesn't wrestle with, again, disorders like you and I do. She doesn't wrestle with disordered passions or emotions. And so it's, of course, she would have said yes, because again, she's full of grace. She's immaculately conceived. And as a result of that, we have the greatest gift called the incarnation. Ruben?
Yeah, Hector, you don't want to get into that speculation like Jesse mentioned, because what your Catholic brothers are going to say is, well, God would have just used somebody else. You know, well, maybe he would have, but the fact is that she was destined for this. God prepared her for this by the Immaculate Conception. And she foretold, from Genesis 3:15, that was the woman that, and Jesus referenced her as woman to so people can hearken back to Genesis 3:15. So do not, the fact is that we have the greatest spiritual mother. And think about this. If they don't want to accept the Our Lady as their mother, if Jesus is our brother, then it stands to reason that Mary is our mother. And all there's saints that have spoken about this issue, and they said the angels were saying, yes, say yes, Mary, say yes, mm-hmm. say yes, and she said yes, and all of heaven rejoiced, that her fiat was given, and she be it done unto me according to that word, and we have what we the feast that we celebrate today. 9 months later, months later, Christmas. Hector, we're gonna have to move on, but appreciate you calling in, and thank you for being a listener.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Both of you. God
bless. Ruben, she was perfectly prepared for that task.
Absolutely.
Again, because once again, she's God's masterpiece. And she was created full of grace, which means full of grace means in Luke chapter 1 verse 28, it's a perfect passive participle in the Greek, which basically means that Mary was perfected from the moment of her conception in God's grace. She had perfect integrity of her intellect and her will.
Yes.
And she was perfect. God was perfectly indwelling with her. And so that word also in the Greek means that that's an ongoing status for all eternity. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful word when you look at it in a Greek dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jess. And going back to what we were talking about illegal immigrants and receiving money. And anyway, I just read that Biden has given Kamala Harris, put her in charge of this border crisis. And we'll talk about that on the other side of this break. If we remember the confirmation hearings where we had, we'll get into it. She's going to be, we thought Biden was bad. This one's going to be worse. Yeah. Be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, two-man car, 10-8 for Jesus. And Jesse, we were talking about illegal immigrants that are going to receive a whopping $4.38 billion in stimulus checks. Now, what I was referencing before the break about Kamala Harris, Fox News put out that Harris is now overseeing the border crisis, and she's called in the past to decriminalize border crossings, and she compared ICE to the KKK. This was in 2018. She compared ICE to the KKK, and she's flip-flopped on her, because at one point she was the attorney general, so she had to enforce the law, and then now she's saying we should make it a civil case, not a criminal case. And it's horrible that that she's been put in charge of this because of the way she's treated our people at the border, ICE and the border patrol agents. They're doing the Lord's work down there, and for her to give any a comparison or parallel this with the KKK is just, from an elected official, the Vice President of the United States, this is downright disgusting. When they celebrated 10 years ago the death of Robert Byrd, Senator Byrd, and he was a a high-ranking member of the KKK at one point. So come on, man.
Ruben, let's just be honest here. Look at, why is this happening right now? Because the Democrat Party wants to secure all the future elections.
Absolutely.
They won't have to. I can't use the word because I don't want to get taken off the platform here. They won't have to seventh commandment the elections any longer. All they have to do, the Democrat Party knows that they benefit from illegal immigration. This is why they pander to them, promising them entitlements. Why? This way they're going to gain their support, and their children are going to vote Democrat, and many of them will vote Democrat. Again, using other names or the fact of the matter is, we're the most generous country in the world as it stands. Take illegal immigration out of the discussion right now. Right now in America, in this country, we take in about 1 million immigrants a year into the United States. There's no other country that even comes close to that figure. This country is the most generous country in the world by far. And the fact is, now on top of that, they're trying to push illegal immigration. If people don't realize, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
The cost of providing social and medical and law enforcement and education service to illegal immigrants, from every level of government, it's estimated at about $113 billion a year. I'm going to say that again. The cost of providing medical, housing, law enforcement, social, educational services to illegal immigrants cost the U.S. about $113 billion a year. Now, a study was done because people will say, hey, but all illegal immigrants also give back through taxes. A study was done by PolitiFact, and they said that undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, pay about $12 billion taxes a year back into the system. $12 billion. How much do they take? $113 billion a year. Ruben, let me go back I don't want to say circle back. I don't want to say that.
Please don't.
Don't say that word. Let me go back to something that was asked that we didn't answer. I just want to make it very quick. And before we stay on this topic, the last caller had asked us, hey, my Our bishops are telling us to take the jab. Well, guess what? Bishops and the Pope, they could have opinions about medicine and science, and we would respect their opinions as fellow human beings. But the fact is, they have no authority, no spiritual or moral authority to make decisions binding upon you when it comes to medicine and science. That's outside their lane of authority. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example, okay? God has given us, every one of us, a lane of authority. And we call that in law enforcement, when you jump out of your lane and you're zigzagging from one lane to another, we call that drunk driving or reckless driving, okay? Bishops jumping out of their lane of authority when they're not talking about faith and morals, when they're talking about science or anything else or politics, that's just their opinion. You don't have to listen to them. You can respectfully listen to what they say, but if it doesn't comport with the facts, or it doesn't comport with logic or your understanding as you read the facts, you can dismiss it like I have. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? Any bishop that says anything about me taking the jab, guess what I do? I dismiss it outright. They have no authority over me in that regard. In that regard, I go to science and I go to many doctors that I'm looking at, thanks be to God, because of the internet. And there's a whole slew of doctors that are giving you good, sound medical advice on this topic. Ruben?
Yeah, that's right, Jess. Besides, it hasn't been approved by the FTC, and right now it's still a trial period. So he was right in saying that there's aborted fetal cells that were abused in the creation of it, at least the testing of it in Pfizer and Moderna. And so for that fact and the others that we mentioned, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not going to get it either. So, but they can't force you to get it because they can't tell you to do, like the Democrats are always saying, hey, my body, my choice, my body, my choice, my body. I choose not to get it. So, and then to think that you still have to wear a mask. You still got to wear a mask. Ah, I forgot this point. A guy that works with my wife's team, he got the Moderna vaccine, and he's currently got the virus. He got it. He contracted it, and he had both jabs, and he still got the virus. So, yeah. What good is it? You know, if you can still get sick, then come on, man. I'm gonna take my chances that my body, my immune system is good enough with all the vitamins that I take. And there's things out there you can take and you can read about them. You know, it's clearly known that vitamin D and zinc and C and all these things are good for you. And now they're allowing, the hydrochloroquine and can I say that? And then also ivermectin, they're making it more accessible and doctors have touted that too. So don't be in fear. That's the problem. They want to keep you in fear so that you could stay locked down and keep relying on handouts from the government. And, no, we're going to be proactive, Jess, prayerful, and we're going to be vigilant but we're not going to stop living, man. We're going to stop.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's get back to this. Just, I think we covered that.
Yeah. I think we beat that one to death.
Yeah.
Going back into the issue of illegal immigration, I'll tell you, as Catholics, the church is very clear. And it's sad to me that I don't hear many people actually quote this. The church's teaching on immigration is in paragraph 2241 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay. And it says this, it's only one paragraph. It says, the more prosperous nations are obliged, that's us, more prosperous nation, to the extent they are able, those are the key words, to the extent they are able, to welcome the foreigner in search of the security and the means of livelihood that he cannot find in his country of origin. Public authorities should see to it that the natural right is respected that places a guest under the protection of those who receive him. The Catechism says, political authorities, for the sake of the common good for which they're responsible, may make the exercise of the right to immigrate subject to various juridical conditions. In other words, Caesar makes the laws of the country when it comes to immigration, okay? Subject to various juridical conditions, especially with regard to the immigrants' duties towards their country of adoption. Catechism, last sentence says, immigrants are obliged, and this is immigrants legal or illegal, immigrants are obliged to respect with gratitude the material and the spiritual heritage of the country that receives them, here it is, drumroll, to obey its laws and to assist in carrying civic burdens. So there's three things that are highlighted in the catechism. And I don't hear many of the bishops say this. I don't know why. Okay? It's right in the documents of the church. The first thing that the church says, the church recognizes that there's a limit to the number of immigrants that a nation can absorb. Common sense tells you that.
Yeah.
You can't take all the homeless people in your city into your house. Common sense tells you that. No nation can absorb an unlimited number of immigrants. That's the first thing the catechism says. And this is why the lady, it doesn't do us any good when our bishops and our prelates, they speak as if the Catholic teaching requires an open border policy. It's not in the catechism.
Yeah.
They're messed up out of whole cloth because they receive federal funding from the Democrat Party. The second qualifier in the catechism, it says that the states or the nations have a right to set the legal requirements that must be met for the immigration. In other words, every country has the right to make their immigration policy, okay? Like, in other words, like fill out an application, stand in line, go through that door. And the third thing that the catechism says is that it's the duty of immigrants, when they're taken into a country, they have to obey the laws of that country, okay? Whether you're legal or illegal, whether you came through the front door legally or you jumped the fence, when you're in the country, especially if you're a Catholic, a baptized Catholic, you're called to obey the laws of that country. And the laws of that country tell you, you can't jump the fence. What does that mean? Get back in line.
Yep.
Go back and do it the right way.
Yeah, Jesse. And, what Trump had done is he was sending them back to Mexico to wait there. And that discouraged people from coming from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. They'd have to wait in Mexico to get to the immigration, paperwork. So we'll be right back. We're going to finish up.
We'll continue on that. Yeah.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are the DOJ, Disciples of Jesus. We're talking about the illegal immigration. And you know, Jesse, this this problem, like you said earlier, it's man-made. When they knew that Biden was going to open the borders, the people started flocking, and it's still caravans coming. Right now, there's a total of over 16,000 unaccompanied illegal alien minors. They're in custody right now, according to the Customs and Border Protection. And this, it's only going to get worse. And these people are ripe. These kids are ripe for being trafficked. You've got the cartels are not only involved in drugs. They're involved in anything that's prosperous. And if they can make money, you know, whether it be, you know, fake Gucci bags or, you know, high-end apparel that's knockoff, they're into that. They're into extortion and they're into trafficking. So that's been going on. A young girl was drowned in the Rio Grande the other day. And you didn't hear Nancy Pelosi or Biden or Kamala Harris saying anything about that. So they're being used as pawns. They're being used in this political game of trying to garner more voting, more people for the Democratic Party. And
That's right.
It's unfortunate.
Ruben, this Steve Camaretta, the director of research for the Center for Immigration Studies, he says this: there is simply no question that millions of illegal immigrants will receive billions of dollars in COVID relief checks. Stephen Camaretta says, this highlights an even more disturbing fact. Illegal immigrants are being issued social security numbers in large numbers. This is a clear indication that America is simply not serious about enforcing the immigration laws. That statement there is powerful. And I'm going to tell you something. I think it's irresponsible for the Biden administration right now to put, number one, our citizens at risk. We don't know who's coming over here. As I quoted to you that other study, many of them have criminal records. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, it's not fiscally responsible for the Biden administration when you're in debt. Our country's in debt right now, Ruben.
Big time.
And now we're giving out more money that we're printing out to people that are here illegally when we have an incredible homeless population crisis in our own country. Our country's in debt. You know, when you have these other countries that are bucking for, hey, open all the borders. Well, you know, the Vatican's a sovereign country. And I'm saying this respectfully. The Vatican oftentimes is saying stuff about we have to have open borders and let people come in and out as they please. Well, the Vatican, they're not in the red like us. They're in the black. You know, maybe the Vatican's a sovereign country. Maybe they could welcome everybody who wants to, you know, have prosperity. They can live in the Vatican. I'm just saying as a suggestion, or maybe each bishop in his palace, I'm sure he can house about 100, illegal immigrants in the palaces, that the castles they live. And that way they can show us as an example, like, wow, this is an example of Christian charity. I'd like to see Cardinal Dolan. I've seen the mansion he lives in. Go on the internet and take a look at it. It's got a pool that goes through the house like a river.
Wow.
He's got a pool in his house that goes through the entire house like a river. Okay. I've seen it. It's a castle. He can house 100 illegal immigrants there. Maybe if Dolan would do that, I could say, wow, you know what? He's showing us as an example, by example, as a shepherd, as successor of the apostles. Maybe we can do likewise. Our bishops and cardinals need to start leading by example, or they need to keep their mouth shut, Ruben. And I say that respectfully.
Yeah, Jesse, this is by no means, I want to preface this by, this is not a racial issue, but Jesse and I are both Hispanic. So these are our people for the most part coming over, you know, probably baptized Catholics. And so we're not discriminating against them. We're just saying this is not good for our country. It's not good for, it's not even good for them in the sense that you're not teaching them to work. You know, scripture says that, you know, St. Paul, I believe it says that you shouldn't eat if you don't work. And they're coming over, and they've interviewed some of these people, and they've heard it on the news, and they're saying, we're going to keep coming because this, we heard that Biden was going to open the borders. And
yeah, well, they got t-shirts that say that, yeah. Joe Biden, please let us in.
Yeah. And so they're going to continue to come, as opposed to when Trump, and they asked the question to one person, hey, why didn't you come earlier when Trump? Oh, because Trump wouldn't let us in. So they know it's ripe right now for to get through and get across. And who are they putting these kids with, Jesse? And they can't. How are they supposed to determine that they're related by blood? And this is the other thing that boggles my mind. After we talked about the CDC and what they're the virus and stuff. These people are coming over without masks on. They're coming over. They're not social distancing. How come they're not saying anything about that? But they want to social distance us. But these people coming over are just walking in, you know, close quarters. They're staying in the cages, or they don't want to call them cages anymore. But they're not wearing masks. They're not social distancing. And then some of them, they're being let in. Some of them are carrying the virus. So they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth. This is not science by no means.
This is politics. We got somebody on the line, Ruben.
Yes. You're on the line. Is this Paul?
Yeah, Paul Clay calling. How
Paul
you guys doing?
Clay.
Lieutenant Clay, what's going on?
Can't get enough of this stuff. Listen, hey, great topic. And I just wanted to make a couple of points. You know, with large-scale immigration, as has been practiced under the Obama administration and now under Joe Biden. Incidents like the Boulder, Colorado incident, those kinds of things happen. That guy was an immigrant, came over as an immigrant. Yes, he's been here most of his life, so I'm assuming he got here, but he was probably around 9 or 10 years old. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is you know, there is a there's a lot of people who immigrate to this country and they want the better lifestyle, but they don't want to assimilate into this culture, or their cultures are so radically different than what we're used to here. They, you know, they just automatically militate against this culture and gravitate toward Sharia law or other things like that. And it, and, you know, nobody's talking about this because it's not popular to say these things, but the reality is these are the kinds of things that happen. Coupled with the fact, and this is the last thing I'll say on this, is, on the one hand, we look like we're immoral, like, oh, the United States, you know, they're so wealthy, they should be bringing all these people in, which just made up the point. No, we're actually way upside down. We're trillions of dollars in debt. Mm-hmm. But our enemies want to weaken this country, because sooner or later, and I would probably say sooner, this country is going to collapse because of the debt. And when it collapses, then where will freedom be? You know, the United States will no longer be the leader of freedom in the world. And I dare to say communism and other countries who aren't like the United States will have free reign.
Good comments, Paul. Thanks a lot for weighing in.
Absolutely, okay. Paul.
Always, you can always count on Paul for some good comments. Yep.
Thanks, fellas.
Ruben, I'll tell you something else. Thanks, Paul. Just from a spiritual point, let's talk about spiritual, talk about a Catholic point of view. I'll tell you what's very common amongst people coming from south of the border is bigamy. So many people that I meet in all the parishes, I say, tell me a little bit about yourself. And this is a common story of a lot of Hispanic men. Well, I came over here to look for a job and to support my family back in Panama, Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico, El Salvador. But, you know, I'm going to bring them in about a year from now. I just want to make some money and send them, and I'm supporting them. So I'm over here living in an apartment with a couple of guys. We work construction long hours. I'm making pretty decent money. And the fact is, you know what ends up happening, Ruben? They get disconnected from the sacraments. They're living in an apartment with a bunch of yahoos that are doing coke and drinking beer after a 12-hour day of digging ditches. And they end up finding some hoochie mamas in the bar, end up hooking up with a girlfriend, getting her pregnant, starting a second family. Bigamy is so huge in the Latino community. So huge. I don't know how many family members I had that my mom would say, shh, your cousin, he's got a family in Mexico and a family in Simi Valley. Shh. That cousin has a family in Valencia. Ruben, this is common. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
This is destroying the Catholic faith and the Catholic people.
Yeah, my landscaper, it's a perfect example. His brother was a hard worker, was working on my yard. And then the next time I called on him, his brother wasn't there. And he goes, oh, he went back to Mexico. He's got like 8 kids in Mexico from like 3 different women. And then now he's back. He's going to Spain now. He's going to go sow his oats over in Spain. And he's a good looking guy. He's got blue eyes, so all the girls go crazy over him. And, but he's not taking responsibility for his, you know, what he's causing, the children he's bringing into this world. And it's not all of these. We're not trying to, paint everybody with the same brush, but.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Talk to Catholic priests in Latino parishes, especially in border towns. And I can tell you, Catholic priests that speak Spanish will tell you the most confessed sin amongst men outside of pornography is bigamy. Father, forgive me. My last confession was 20 years ago. I got a family in El Salvador and a family in Los Angeles. And the priests are like, oh, what a nightmare. What a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So What are we going to do, Jess? You know, we got
to... Reuben, this is why we just have to listen to the teachings of the church. We have to, Jesus says, if you love me, obey the commandments. You make your life simple when you obey the commandments of God. Mm-hmm. And that also means render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. When the government has just laws, like fill out an application, stand in line, wait your turn, mm-hmm. do the background check, those are just laws. Now, when the government is telling you things that are unjust, like, for example, it could happen with the Equality Act, you Catholic priests are going to have to marry two men. That's an unjust law. So remember, as a Catholic, we obey from the government what runs congruent with our Catholic faith. If it's incongruent with our Catholic faith, we reject it.
Well said, Jesse. Hey, you've been listening to Jesus 911. That's a wrap. We are going to... We are going into Palm Sunday this weekend. So, and tonight I've got another mission, a preacher at my church. So, let's stay close to the sacraments and your Lenten promises, your commitments, mortification, reparation, expiation. God love you. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Garrett Mishuda. We are 10-7. We are out.